You say the game is getting old. Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you want it to be.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A New Direction. My name is Jay Isso, and oh, man, it's going to be a great show. It has to be a great show. I'm just telling you right now, if you have no idea what we have gone through to make this show happen, I'm just telling you, it's going to be a great show. It has to be. It just has to be. I'm going to tell you something else. How appropriate is it that when you're in the middle of your job and you're a little under stress and things aren't working out the way you want, and we all love technology, I do, but my technology wasn't working. So, you know, I've had to remind myself, because I've got the title of this book that we're going to talk about. It says, Work Made Fun Gets Done. Well, we have had a lot of fun trying, well, I don't know if they have, but I've had a tremendous time trying to get my work done. But we really have had a lot of fun. And you're going to love Dr. Bob Nelson and Mary Tamayo, the co-authors of this book, Work Made Fun Get Done. And I'm telling you, folks, just let me just say this to you. Look, I know that the title, Work Made Fun Gets Done, has got you a little suspicious, because I hear that. Because it's part two, because Dr. Bob Nelson and I were on earlier without Mario, and I said, hey, listen, I would love to do a part two on the show. And here's the reason why, and I'm so glad that we did. Because let's be honest, right now we have people who are ghosting their jobs, leaving work. They're not being loyal to the companies, and they're bouncing around like crazy looking for jobs. And I really do believe that Dr. Bob and Mario have written a book here. By the way, sold over 5 million copies. That they've written a book here that I think has got some answers to some questions. And I know people, you may be one of those people who say, hey, listen, people don't go to fun, they go to work. Well, you may be part of the problem, not part of the solution. in all honesty. And
we made a pivot here. Yeah,
yes.
Pandemic. If work isn't fun, people are going to find a different place to go.
Right. You know? Right. So I want you to have an open mind, okay, about this, because this is not only based on their experience, but this is also backed by research. And we're going to talk through some of this research. We're going to talk about why this is going to be so important to you and your company and to your employee. All right. And if you're an employee, listen, there's nothing that says that you can't start from the bottom up, right? And then start employ some of these techniques to help maybe bring a little fun to your workplace, because we all need it. We've been in a pandemic. We're starting to get on the outside of it a little bit, but we need to have a little fun in our lives. And there's nothing wrong with having work fun balance in the workplace. And we're going to talk about that more. But before we do that, let's do what we do every week, right? I walk you through the four areas of your life. We are physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual people. I've interviewed tons of specialists on the show, from the Armed Forces, U.S. Army General, Navy SEALs, Delta Force, people who they call themselves the unit, right? They all say the same thing. You know what they say? You know what? You have to be working on all four of these areas all the time, every day. Because if you're not working on them, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, inevitably you're dying, because we don't stay the same in these four areas. So I asked you four areas, and I do this on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being, how's your training going? You know, 1 is, it's not great. As a matter of fact, it's awful. 10 being, I can't get any better. 5 being average in each area. So you're going to give yourself a number. All right, so we start with the physical. So if you were to evaluate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 with exercise, eating right, drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, what kind of number would you give yourself, right? Now listen, it doesn't matter what the number is as much as that you have to look at that as a number of a place you're going to start. And then look at that at what can we do to enhance that. So if you said you were a 3, all right, listen, I'm not trying to get you to a 10 in a day. I just want you to get to a 3.5 or a 4, all right? That's all you got to do. All you could do is start simple, right? Habits are created when we start with small steps. They don't get created when we start and jump right in. A lot of times, the reason why people don't exercise is because they go full blast for 2 hours in the gym and they wake up and they're sore and they can't move. Right? I mean, the truth of the matter is, start slow and work up to it. All right. So whatever that number is, it does. That's your first number. Second number is the mental number. Look, don't be a couch potato and think that you're going to learn by just having things come at you. You have to be an active participant in your learning. By the way, learning, you've got two halves of your brain, left brain, right brain. So what you have to do is you have to work both halves. Here's a great suggestion. Listen, folks, read a book. Reading a book actually works both halves of your brain, because you're having to deal with understanding numbers and letters, and you're putting things together so it's creative and yet logical. And so, folks, sometimes reading a book is a great way. Now, listen, I have coaching clients who listen to books. But you know what I have them do is I have them take notes. And I say, every time you listen to a book, just write down three things that are meaningful to you. Three things that you heard in your book. That's it. You go, well, I can do that. Yeah, it's a great way to actually bring a book into life when you write it down, because now we're enhancing both the modes, right? Another way, learn a new instrument, learn a foreign language, all of those things. Learn about a new culture. All of those things are really great in enhancing your mental activity. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give yourself? All right, now you have two numbers. Third number is your emotional number. And, you know, Daniel Goleman, Daniel Kahneman, they've talked so much about emotional intelligence. But I'm going to make it real simple. The first part of it is your number is, how would you rank yourself in terms of your emotional control? Meaning, like, when you're under stress, under pressure, how well are you able to control your emotions? And then secondly, how well are you able to tap into and understand the emotions of others? See, part of this book here that my two friends have written, that, by the way, have sold over 5 million copies. I know I said that before. But the truth is, the reason why that's so important is because for you as a CEO, founder, and owner, you really need to tap into the emotional intelligence of your folks. And if you can't understand what's emotionally happening in your business and that there's a lack of fun in your business, then you're not going to get it. By the same token, employee, I'm talking to you, you need to kind of tap into the emotional area of your CEO, right? And sometimes that means that you have to get to understand them so that you guys can have a coming together, the meeting of the minds. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself in those two areas? And then finally, the spiritual area. Folks, I know that some of you say I'm not spiritual, but if you remove the physical, the mental, the emotional, what are you left with? We all run to something when things go south. And whatever you run to, that is what we typically treat as our God, whatever that is. And then we have to think about what brings us back to center or back to peace in the midst of chaos. I mean, maybe it is God, maybe it's nature, maybe it's meditation, whatever it may be, right? I ask you these questions. Is it working for you? And what do you got to do to change it? So how would you rate yourself on that scale of 1 to 10? All right? Those four numbers are like the legs of a chair. If the legs of the chair are out of balance, right, and you sit in it long enough, what happens? Your posture goes bad. At the same time, if the chair legs are too low, what happens is you can't sit at a table and eat nutritiously the food that you need to eat. And speaking of two gentlemen who have their legs all at the right height, and they're all even. It's Dr. Bob Nelson and Mara Tamayo. I'm going to just introduce them one at a time. Dr. Bob Nelson is president of Nelson and Motivation Incorporated and the world's leading authority on employee recognition and engagement. He has published over 30 books that have sold over 5 million copies and have been translated in over 30 languages. He's presented on 6 continents, worked with thousands of organizations, including over 80% of the Fortune 500 companies. He's currently a senior fellow for the Conference Board, a top thought leader for Best Practices Institute, and has been named a leading global employee engagement influencer by EE Awards, and a top 5 management guru by Global Gurus. And then now let me introduce to you, by the way, I want to say this about Dr. Bob. He's got his MBA in organizational behavior from UC Berkeley and a PhD in management education with Dr. Peter Drucker, which I think is also really cool and impressive. All right, now let me introduce to you Mario Tamayo. Mario Tamayo has 30 plus years of experience in training human performance and organizational development and has been an advocate of promoting company cultures of enjoyable employment and recognition, demonstrating that work made fun does in fact get done. He has, and folks, listen to this next statement, because this is so awesome about Mario. He has successfully leveraged the skills he demonstrated in the 6th grade at St. Michael's Academy that won him the class clown and least likely to succeed monikers to prove his teachers were somewhat in error. So I don't know if you're still around, teachers. You were wrong. He is the principal with Tamayo Group Incorporated. He's a leadership consulting firm. He coaches, writes, speaks, leads workshops on management development, presentation skills, and personal and professional empowerment. He's been responsible for several successful performance and product and improvement initiatives for organizations, including Amylin Pharmaceuticals, the Anthony Robbins Companies, Broadcom, Ken Blanchard Companies, Life Technologies, and so many more. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Dr. Bob Nelson and Mario Tamayo. Welcome, guys.
Hey, that was great.
Thanks for having us.
You know, full disclosure, should we let people know that Jay's my brother-in-law? Oh, okay.
Yes.
A brother from another mother.
Another mother. Yeah. That, yes. No, Mario
Just
and
keep
I.
Keep that a secret.
Even my own mom doesn't know. That's how. Okay. So listen, guys. I love this. I love starting out with fun and getting people laughing. And this is the thing about the book, because I think this is the one thing that's missing in our business culture today, is we're not laughing anymore. You know, my wife owns a very successful company, and you know, I remember one time we had a lot of things were going on in the industry, and there was people that were making changes, and she finally got her team back together and solid. And I remember she said she walked up into her office and she heard her people laughing, and she knew that things were going to be okay. But it's true, isn't it?
Litmus test, yes, litmus test. It's and companies kind of like they need to find out, because we get asked, well, how do we know when we have it and when we don't? Well, if that's how are your meetings? Do people seem to enjoy it? Do you have good rapport? Is it okay for people to joke and be themselves? Or are things pretty buttoned up and very formal, kind of stiff? And it's harder to stay in a job in a culture like that when today people want to bring their whole self to their job. Right. And with the move towards more hybrid work and the flexibility of where people can be located, they can find if the current job isn't fulfilling, if they don't enjoy it, if they don't enjoy who they're working with or who they're serving, it's easy to jump on board and find another job, which is exactly what people are doing and have been doing for the last 18 months. 4.5 million people quit their jobs last month.
Yeah.
And it's not slowing down. In
right.
fact, a lot of those people have changed jobs and now changing jobs again. They're still in right. search of a place where they can call home for a while.
You know, it's a gift that we have now with this COVID thing, because it's caused people to like take a look back at their lives and saying, you know, if this was it, if my life's going to be over pretty soon, because I'm not sure, nobody's sure about what this COVID thing's going to bring us, but if this is it, they start looking back on their life up to this point and thinking, gee, is this what I want to be known for? Is this
right.
worth it?
Right.
And they're saying no. So a lot of people thought, oh, they're just quitting and they're leaving the workforce. No, what they're doing is they're actually finding something that's more in line with what they believe in, what their purpose is, and what they want their legacy to be later. So it's a gift.
It's interesting that you say that, Mario, that it's a gift, because, you know, I read the Wall Street Journal regularly and LinkedIn, of course, get the headlines on a regular basis, and you know, all of we have seen is month after month, more people left their jobs, or more people are jumping jobs, more people are ghosting jobs, more people are bouncing around. And, you know, every place I go, I was just walking around different stores this morning, and every place I went, do you know there was a for sale? There was a high, open to hire sign in every place I went, that they were looking for people. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, okay, why are people not wanting to work here? But then I go, but it's everywhere. It's not just in one or two stores, it's everywhere. So, I mean, I'm not asking you to necessarily solve the world's problems on this, but let's talk about work made fun and how that may influence hiring.
We're saying it's a piece of it. It's definitely a piece of it. Maybe it's not the end all. And of course, people, they have to feel that they're being fairly paid. So a lot of people have changed jobs to earn more. And the whole work relationship, the contract with work, changed over the pandemic, because a lot of people that were in essential jobs now had their life in danger. If that wasn't bad enough, suddenly they're in confrontation with the public because they asked someone to put a mask on because the boss asked them to do that, and now people are up in arms. And so it's been for people in direct service jobs, essential workers, the job has become harder, and whatever we were paying them in the past isn't good enough. So they are demanding more pay, but they're also demanding more of a life where they can truly enjoy what they're doing and who they're doing it with. So we're saying that this has to be part of the equation, and And if you're hiring younger employees, which of course that's where the movement is, the bulk of jobs in the workforce right now, close to 75% have millennials or younger in them. And what we know about this generation is they do have an expectation that it's not just working for a paycheck, that they're enjoying what they're doing and who they're doing it with, that they're respected by their manager, their manager makes time for them, that the connection with their peers is very important. And 69% of the current younger generation expects to have fun at work. So it's not fun instead of work. It's like, can I be thanked when I do a good job? Can we celebrate a team success? Can we have some fun even in how we meet? And Mario and I have worked together in several companies, and we've experimented with a lot of this stuff, and it just makes it a lot more enjoyable to have a meeting where we would do like stand-up meetings just to break form and try something different. Or Mario, remember we had because we'd be, you know, the team would be pretty excited that we would
the coconut.
Yeah, we had a coconut. We passed. You had to, in order to talk in the meeting, you had to be holding the coconut. So we wouldn't be talking on top of each other. And again, you know, you try different stuff, and you don't have to be stuck in the mud. And this is how we do stuff. And it's boring. It's always going to be boring. Nah, change it up and tap into what people want to do, especially to acknowledge successes they've had as an individual or as a team.
You know, one thing that people do, we're hearing a lot, is a manager will take our book, and they, in their next staff meeting, they pass the book. That's the one. They pass the book around, and they say to everybody, hey, I want you to just put your initials next to an idea in here that you'd like to do. Mm-hmm. And it only takes about 5 minutes, and people do that. And then the manager says, great, now I have a whole menu of activities that we're going to be doing here. As we do good work together, we're going to be having fun doing the things that you just chose.
Yeah, it's a way to customize the information that we've pulled together, which is mainly real company examples from companies of all sizes and types, and what people are doing to better engage in their job and making the work they're doing more fun, or the interaction with others more fun, or in the organization, things that they could do to make fun a more routine part of what we do.
And one of the best news for the companies is that far and away, most of the 400 plus ideas in this book are either no cost or very little cost.
Right.
So it doesn't take much to, like you said with the EQ before, it doesn't take much to give somebody something that they value, that they need from their perspective. And again, it's not going to cost you anything. As long as it's genuine, man, the sky is the limit here.
So, yeah, and customize. You know, we found one of the biggest surprises I had in the project that we pulled this together is we found that what the people define as fun varies from person to person, varies very widely. So, in fact, I'd even go so far as to say that no two people have the same definition of fun.
Right.
So if you ask me what's fun at work, it'd be, well, when you're laughing, then of course you're having fun. But
you
ask my wife that, and which I have, and it has nothing to do with laughing. She'll say, if I had a good day where I got achieved a lot, then it was a fun time. And, oh, really? That's what's fun to you?
Right.
and so you have to take that legitimately. If someone says this is what's enjoyable to me, then we've got to legitimize that, and that really opens up the spectrum for now. You know, let's try what I want to do, and then next week we're going to try what you want to do, or vice versa, and it makes it more interesting as we pull more people into it.
Yeah, one person says, you know, what made it fun today is my boss asked me if I would sit in on a meeting and represent our group with this higher level, you know, in our organization. Right. I just thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. Or present the findings to the management team yourself, and give the person more visibility for success that they've had. So it's all over the map. What it looks like, and this is why it's really not, you know, a book is more of a reference manual. It's not something you need to read through directly. You can you can access it and try different things. And if you find one that doesn't work for you, that's okay too. Now turn the page and try it.
That's what people have told us. They go, you know, I didn't find anything on this page that I thought, and I turned the next page, and there it was.
Yeah, there was. Yeah,
and we did it, and it worked out great.
I actually had once I was presenting at a company, and the CEO, you know, afterwards he came, he said, "You mentioned so and so here." I'm using like dozens of examples and whatnot, and I used one example. He said, "We can't do that here." I remember, I think it had to do with flexible work attire, you know, and we can't do that here. And I looked at him and I said, this one, and I found in the book, this idea, you can't do that one? No, we can't do that one. And I tore the page out of the book. I said, you got 900 left, you know. can't be fixated on all the things that you can't do. You got to focus on what you could do.
That's beautiful.
If that works better, then do it again.
I love that. Hey, folks, listen, you're listening to, aren't they fun? Aren't they fun? Have you laughed? I've laughed a bunch. You're listening to Dr. Bob Nelson and Mario Tamayo. The book entitled Work Made Fun Gets Done. We're just getting started here. This is just the first 20 minutes. Listen, you're listening to them here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, listen, whether you're recovering from an injury or surgery, suffering from everyday aches and pains, maybe you're a professional athlete, right? Because professional athletes go to Epic Physical Therapy, where I go, and they're a sponsor of this show. Listen, they will customize a treatment plan just for you. I'm telling you, they will get you back in the game. When you're looking for your epic relief, your epic recovery, your epic results, just go to epicpt.com. That's EPICPT.com. And Linda Kraft of Team Realtors, for over 35 years, she has been serving the world. Yes, literally serving the world and helping them sell and buy houses. She is independently owned and operated locally, and yet she serves the world. She's unattached to any national real estate organization. She does that because she understands the power of relationships. And I'm telling you, that power exists to this day, and it's going and going strong. So when you're ready to sell your home or buy your home, start with Linda Kraft and Team Realtors. You can learn more by going to lindakraft.com. That's LindaCraft.com. And finally, hey, listen, you know, this show is on DBNA TV, right? With over 150,000 viewers every month on your Roku or Amazon Fire Stick. Listen, you know what? We are the official... The Hint is the official beverage of DBNA TV, and I love Hint water, and I think you should too. So you know what? Check out DBNA TV, and you know what? While you're doing that, why not drink a little Hint? Just a hint. And we're back here on A New Direction.
Now, Jay, one of the things I wanted to bring up. so that we're not just talking about fun and people out there thinking, oh, you know, this is all fun and frivolous. Well, you know, how many of you out there that are listening today, how many of you heard of Deloitte?
Right, yeah, of course.
It's a big firm. It's been around forever. Well, you know, this idea is not lost on them. They said that the 2020s decade here that we're just starting, that this is going to be the decade of what, Bob? What's it called?
The era of fun at work.
And they're saying that because – having fun at work is the number one indicator of what makes for a high-performing organization. And a study was done. Bob, why don't you take it up on that, talk about the best places to work.
Yes, part of what we did in terms of having the book be research-based is we said, well, where is this working? And we tapped into the research that the Best Places to Work Institute in San Francisco uses to create the list of best places to work in America that Fortune publishes every year. And in looking at their data, we found that those companies on that list, their employees, 82% of them reported where they work is a fun place. Mm. And we contrasted that with the companies that applied for that honor but didn't receive it. The number dropped to only 62% of employees said it was a fun place to work. So this one element, this one variable, actually represented the biggest differential in their research between great companies to work for and also RANs. The whole element of having it be fun. When people are fun, they're more fully engaged. They enjoy coming to work. They enjoy who they're working with. They enjoy who they're serving. And so it's not a frivolous thing. In fact, Inc. magazine, when they gave us a testimonial for the book, they said on the back cover here, fun is frivolous, we know, unless you want to attract and keep good employees. Then it's no longer frivolous anymore. You got to take it seriously. And that's what we're trying to get the word out for people to open their minds to this and to try it. You might like it, and it might just make a better results.
So the bottom line here is, I'm sorry, Bob. Okay. So the bottom line here is that people who are having the most fun at work are also the most productive and effective employees, and employees who are the most effective at what they do are also having the most fun at work. It's two sides of the same coin, and once people realize that, then they've got to start, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show. You got to take care of the mind, body, spirit, and the whole mentality of it. What I call the spokes of the wheel of life. If you got to have those things in balance, and you got to grow those areas so that you make your wheel bigger and stronger. And if you're out of balance, then you got a really rough road.
Right.
To hoe, and that's what a lot of organizations are finding right now. We're way out of balance, and we got. Bumps in our journey here, and what you're advocating there is getting the balance and getting the growth and the development, so it's a smoother ride. So go ahead, you were going to say something.
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask you this question because the book is divided up into parts, and in part two, it's called Leader Oriented Fun, and it triggered a question. Because I've read this book now, I guess three times, and gone through the book three times, and I started thinking about this part two, leader-oriented fun, and I think there are probably leaders out there who go, well, I'm just not a fun person, that's just, I don't do fun, I'm here, I got to do results, I've got, how do you answer that question, and how do you get that, bridge that gap?
It's a great question. It's very common for managers, especially upper managers, to say, hey, here's an idea. People have fun on the weekend, on their own time. We need them to be producing while they're here. And so it's a little bit myopic in terms of saying that we can't have fun, because if ultimately you're not going to be able to attract and retain the employees you need to be successful, then you're going to be behind the curve there. So if this is a path to make your workplace one that's more attractive to other employees, and again, I mentioned the younger generation, increasingly employees have more choice in where they work. So as the things that they take seriously are important to them, you have to take them seriously as well, or they're not going to be participating in your organization. That's what it comes down to. So right now, the proof is in the pudding of what's working, what's not working. And that's why we believe so strongly that those companies that are opening up to this topic and making it a routine part of how they achieve results, to celebrate successes, for example, or to catch people doing things right, to focus on the positive instead of the mistakes and the problems. Simple things that add up to a culture of that's more positive, more fun, more appreciative of the workforce, then that has a direct correlation to how long people will stay and how successful the company will be.
Yeah, it dawned on me that this can sometimes be, I don't want to make it personality driven, because I don't know if that's fair, right? I don't know that it's fair to be personality driven, because I want to believe that, I think you said, you both have said it in different ways, fun looks different to each of us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that we don't have it. It's just that it doesn't look the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe what happens for many managers or owners or founders or CEOs of companies is that somebody else's version of fun borderlines on stupidity. And that makes it difficult for them to embrace that. Does that make any sense at all?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Or they try stuff, and then if it's not well received, then they blame the employees instead of saying, right, well, maybe you tried the wrong thing. In fact, we have one example in the book from a CEO that he said that, you know, he knew it was important to do, you know, some group activities during the year and to get the employees together for stuff. And he said no matter what he did, it never seemed to go over very well. That people either didn't want to do it or it wasn't as fun as he hoped it would be, didn't achieve the results. And so he had another executive do it, same results, you know, it didn't seem to work. Finally, instead of forcing the situation, he went to a younger person, a millennial in the organization, and said, would you like to help out, decide what we do as a company-wide activity? And the kid said, absolutely. And he used social media tools to survey people and to find the timing that worked best for people. And they ended up doing something they'd never done before. In fact, it was like they did a trip to one of these places that does medieval shows. So they served turkey legs to people, and
it's
families
awesome.
Loved it. Yeah, everyone loved it, and they'd never done it before, but they approached it a different way, and then it worked, and now it's easy to build on that success and do it again. So sometimes it's as simple as saying, if what you've been trying isn't working, why not try something different? And but, worst comes to worst, it doesn't work, you go back to what you were doing, but inevitably you're going to learn, you're going to hit the mark closer, and you'll get more people involved. I had another quick example from my own life. My wife came home years ago from a company and said, the company said we're going to do, you know, for the holiday party, we're going to go to this restaurant, kind of a buffet. And I go, wow, what a snooze fest. You know, we could do a better job than what your company is planning. And she went back and she told them that. And they said, okay, you guys do it. And we did. We took all the furniture out of our home and we hosted a casino night.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was a blast. And we had, you know, they gave us the budget. And so when people are gambling and stuff, it's not a sit down dinner. So we had a lot of, we had more snacks and hors d'oeuvres. Right. And then we had a huge budget for door prizes. We had two out of every three people that came to the event. And we're talking about 150 people wanted a door prize.
That's awesome. And so
we gave them great gifts, but then we also tapped in, we went to the executive team and we asked them each to donate something, and that made it personal. And here's someone's cabin that you could use for a week, or here's someone they'll take you out on their boat, and it was just a home run that lasted through the whole year.
Wow.
You know, so they loved it so much they asked us the next year to do it again.
That's when Bob turned and he ran really fast.
So, you know, if what you're doing is not working, we're suggesting you just try a different tack, because you might be surprised that people are craving this. They will be responsive, and you're not going to, if you don't try, you're not going to be in the game.
And we have four steps or keys in the book that we talk about, things to do and things not to do. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty much no brainers, but people are so busy today that we're on autopilot. We don't think about some of the things that we already know work and don't work. And
so what's the biggest one, Mario?
Well, the biggest one in my mind is make sure that you make, whatever you do, make sure that you're going to make it safe and fun for everyone. Mm. You never want to do things where people are going to feel like, you know what, somebody just made me the butt of somebody's joke. So, for instance, pranks, we do not advocate doing pranks at work.
Because then they're funny for 2 seconds, and then someone's really pissed off is what happens. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And sometimes enough to quit even.
Right.
You've embarrassed them publicly. And so it's there's not a lot of rules, but one of them is make it safe. make it safe for everyone. If there is anyone you're gonna have as a butt of the joke, have it be yourself. Because that will help humble you and be more approachable by others.
I want to take your story that you talked about this manager or this CEO who attempted a couple times to have fun and failed. But the real genius of this person was they said, you know, maybe I shouldn't be in charge of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I think there has to come a point, right, where you have to recognize, instead of me trying to figure out what my employees would be fun for them, why don't I just let them kind of come up with something?
Exactly.
I think let go of it
and let it find, and someone else will fill the void and actually they'll welcome that opportunity. And the kid I mentioned in this case, he really thrived and he enjoyed it. So why should I try to recreate something I'm not good at to begin with? Better at running the company, not coming up with the things that are going to make people feel more fun in being part of the company.
Leader did is what all great leaders should do, is they got to realize that there are functions to leadership. There are things that leadership does, but it doesn't have to be invested in one person. With one title. So that person says, you know what? I'm not the best person to do this. Here's what we need. I'm going to put somebody who doesn't have the title there. I'm going to put them in that place where, you know, it's part of their development too. But you're getting leadership done, but it doesn't have to be by one person. It's shared leadership. And we got to do more of that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I want to ask you both this question because, you know, I get a lot of pushback when I talk about fun at work on this. And I know that you've given us some research here. And, you know, a lot of people think that that having too much fun in the office can reduce productivity. But it's really just the opposite. And I want to bring up something that was a recent article that just came out on LinkedIn that I saw. And it said that more than half of the tech people are leaving their jobs because management is now, even though they're working from home, management is monitoring their computer, meaning that they're either monitoring keystrokes or they have to keep their camera on at all times. And people are being over-monitored, and it's taking away the enjoyment of their work. And I guess it's a productivity issue because you have management on one side that says, I want to see what you're doing all the time to make sure you're productive.
It's a trust issue. So it started off by saying, we don't trust you. So that's why we're going to examine every keystroke and every website and logging your time. And it's making employees realize that, well, this is definitely not the place I want to be associated with. If they don't trust me to do a good job when I'm working, you know, harder and putting in more hours because I'm not wasting time with the commute, then they're really it's adding insult to injury.
it was a huge mistake that some companies have made. As soon as COVID was starting to recede, they said, "Great, we got to get everybody back into the office right away." I mean, why? Because that's the way we've always done it.
We've got a big office and we're spending a lot of money on rents you know, we got to take advantage of that. And it's like, well, maybe you don't. Maybe you should sublease, you know?
Right.
Why is that fixed in stone? Because we have a building. You know, I've done a lot of work with the federal government and at GSA. They, in the last couple of years, they built a new building. This is the government, which is pretty impressive, that they built it so it would only house 2/3 of their employees, thereby forcing the organization for all employees to be more thoughtful in what they're going to do each day and where they need to be, because they can't all fit in the building on any given day. So they have gone beyond encouraging and kind of requiring that people have a more flexible work staff, work life, where they're not just in the office every day.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me that we, you know, that this is such a, it seems like it's such a common sense thing, but it's just not all that common. You know, I mean,
common sense, not common practice.
Yeah,
no. It's, Voltaire, 1640.
Yeah.
Well, what does he know?
Yeah, what does Voltaire know? I mean, that was what? How many hundreds of years ago? Right. I mean, what would he?
1640.
Right. But I mean,
right. Common sense are often not common.
Yeah, I mean, but it's yeah, right. But it's really, but there's really a lot of truth to the fact that we're telling people you should have a work-life balance, right? Which we all can we not all agree out there around the world who listens to this show that we all have, we all know that work-life balance is important. But why can't there be work balance in terms of enjoyment at work and work? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why is that such a more difficult concept?
Well, the old school is, hey, this is when I came up, it was all about seriousness. You know, let's look at way back when people were hired for the physical. You know, I need a hand. Right. I need to hire a new hand. And then somebody got smart and said, you know what? We could save a lot of money and save some time here if we just let people make decisions where they're working. We don't have to make all the decisions. And then somebody says, yeah, so let's hire for our hands and let's hire for our heads. And then somebody got smart in the last 30 years and says, you know what? These people, there's another part to these people that we got to address, and that's their spiritual part. And that's what they believe in and what they, right. You know, what's important to them and their emotions and all that. And that's what the companies are smart today. They're doing, they're making sure that they're providing a work environment that is honorable to the complete person.
I'm going to jump in here, and I just going to need to let everybody know you're listening to Mario Tamayo and Dr. Bob Nelson on A New Direction. And by the way, the book is called Work Made Fun Gets Done. It's available everywhere. Millions of people have purchased it. You should too. Hey, listen, folks, Epic Physical Therapy facilities offer the most advanced top-of-the-line equipment, including the Anti-G, the Alter-G anti-gravity treadmill, the Normatec compression sleeves, my favorite, the Game Ready, that's ice and compression all in one. They are trained and certified in the most comprehensive, cutting-edge treatments available, things like blood flow restriction therapy, dry needling, cupping, and that's just a few. So listen, when you're ready for your Epic Relief, your Epic Recovery, and your Epic Results, go to epicpt.com. That's EPICPT.com. And Linda Kraft and Team Realtors. You know what? For over 35 years, she's been at the top of the real estate game. And listen, I'm here to let you know she's hiring right now. So if you are in the Research Triangle Park area and you are looking for a place for you to come and have an atmosphere of fun and success, then go to Linda Kraft and Team Realtors. I'm telling you, you're going to love them because they get it done and they get it done together. And that's something that they're really proud of. So when you're ready for that, when you're ready to even buy or sell home, start with Linda Kraft and team. That's lindacraft.com. That's LindaCraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction and with my two friends, Mary Tamayo, Dr. Bob Nelson. I know, Dr. Bob, that you, this is something that you're real big into. Social cast. This is one of your guys' pieces of research in the book. Social cast found 69% of employees said they would work harder if they felt their efforts were better appreciated.
Yeah. What gets recognized gets repeated. And a lot of times the ways to recognize people, don't have to be expensive. The best ways cost little or nothing. A simple thank you from one's manager, or public praise. And even, you know, if so many people are currently working through Zoom and whatnot, even on a Zoom call, you could take time to call out people, do a shout out, or if you haven't done before, you gotta try what I call a praise barrage, which is where you say, hey, before we dig into the agenda, I'd like to just take a couple minutes and go around our group. As I call someone's name, like everyone else, to speak up about what they most value about working with that person. Let's start with Tom. Now Mary. Now Sam. And 10 minutes later, what do you have? You have people that have all gotten feedback from their peers about things that they do well. And that's going to make them feel great. It's going to bind the team more tightly together. And whatever people have been called out for, I guarantee you, they will do more of that. Because what gets recognized gets repeated. Mm. So simple activity that you can do even if you're dealing with people virtually.
Mario, when it comes to group recognition, when people get recognized, what have you found to be most successful in your work?
Well, the number one thing is to make sure that people are comfortable with the recognition that you plan to give them. Mm. It's because some people don't like to have that public recognition. So one of the things that we do is make sure that we check with them. Is this something that you find valuable that you're okay with? And then whatever that might be, then we go do it.
So it starts with getting to knowing your employees, and you can do that one-on-one, and you should do that one-on-one, but you can also do it in a group as well and ask people to share stuff about things that are important to them. Like Hyde, for example, they do me pages. They have people, share stuff about their hobbies and their likes, favorite food, favorite flower, that type of thing. So now it becomes common knowledge for the whole work group to know, and they've got different ways they can thank someone for contributing. They also do they do praise buddies, kind of like Secret Santas, where they assign people to track what someone else is doing and to do things to encourage and to thank them that when they've made the contribution.
You know, one thing that Bob and I did when we worked with Ken Blanchard is we were running the product development area for him, and we found out that all our employees were really, really excited about this movie launch and debut of a movie called Jurassic Park. And this was in the early 90s. And what we did was we said, you know what? When we make this deadline by this particular date, we're going to do something special. Really? What is that? Well, it'll be a surprise. So what we did was we made our deadline. And we closed our offices one afternoon. We put a sign on the door, and we said, we're gone for the rest of the afternoon. We're going to a paleontology workshop. And we took the entire team for a pizza lunch, and we went to go see the launch of Jurassic Park. And it was everybody brilliant. Loved it. They talked about it for months after that.
We did a lot of stuff like that. Remember when we took another celebration on completed goals. So it's fun integrated with work, not fun in lieu of work. But Mario, remember we took everyone to Disneyland for a celebration, and we hired a
limo.
a limo driver was an Elvis impersonator.
Oh, awesome.
And Mario is a nut about Elvis, so.
well, thank you very much.
it's not hard to connect the dots and do fun things that you know your people appreciate. And again, people that are appreciated, they stick around longer. And they think twice about leaving because the next job probably isn't going to be like this. It's going to be probably worse. It's only one out of every four or five managers that any of us have in our career that we think are good managers.
Right.
And so if you have a good manager, you think twice about leaving them.
Well, I think there's something that you said, Mario, that really hits home, and I don't want people to miss it, is that you really need to know how people need to be recognized. In the same way you need to know what is fun for people, how you recognize people recognize them for their accomplishments is equally as important here. Because when I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about people that I know. I know that some people just do not want to be recognized in public for the good things they do. Now listen, they appreciate that little thank you note that says, I just want to just say thank you privately, just how important you are. But they don't like to be up in public. And I think it's really important that we don't miss that point of how are you tapping into the recognition of how they want to be recognized.
Yeah. You know, that all comes from Bob's research. You know, I don't know, Bob, do you have a copy of your 1001 ways or 1501 ways to reward employees? But Bob did some fantastic research when he was with Peter Drucker. And all of that stuff comes out of the research that Bob did.
I did my doctoral dissertation. I looked at why managers do or do not recognize employees for doing a good job. Again, this common sense activity, but a lot of people don't do it. A lot of managers don't do it because they get busy, they get removed, they our job becomes more rote, routine. And we don't punch it out as we need to when people have excelled. And so just tried to, the results of that research I captured in this book, initially 1,001 Ways to Reward Employees. Now, in an expanded edition, 1,501 Ways to Reward Employees. That's actually the 64th printing. So we've got
50% more no-cost and low-cost ways to reward people.
All right, guys, next question I have for you. All right, because we
the answer is no, and then yes.
Okay, that's awesome, folks. You're listening to A New Direction. That's been the show. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We've had a great show, but that's it. The answer is yes, and maybe no. Okay, no. So, you know, we're living in a hybrid working world, meaning that you know, people working from home, some are working in the office, or some blended, and some, you know, some people aren't, and you know, I think people think it's more difficult to have fun at work in that hybrid virtual work. But, you know, as you said, Mario, you know, actually it's been kind of a blessing in disguise. So maybe, you know, maybe guys, let's spend a little time talking about what do we need to consider, first of all, to try to have fun in a virtual workplace? And what are some ideas that you guys might share in order to have fun in those blended environments? Was that a yes or no question there? I wasn't sure.
No, I think, you know, it's interesting because when we first started doing the research, and even before Zoom became popular, you know, we recommended doing a lot of neat things using Zoom. And now we have to take into account that people are Zoomed out. They're burnt out on a lot of this virtual stuff. So we've got to make sure that things are fresh. And so that's one of the things, again, talking with people, finding out what's fresher. Should we do this using the virtual platform, or can we do something where we send something out snail mail, the old-fashioned style, where we send ingredients out for how to make great pancakes, and we have a contest that way. And then we will jump on Zoom at one point or one of the virtual platforms later to share and all eat together. But, you know, well, I gave
my virtual employees a thing I got from Walmart for $9 is a microwave popcorn maker. And it's pretty simple, but now we can, at any given time, we can take a break and have popcorn together apart, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, so simple ways to connect people and to have, you know, in a lot of work environments, if they have more like a scrum or agile workplace, and they divide work into 2-week chunks, at the end of that, you can combine a debriefing with how things have gone with some type of celebration, maybe a team activity that allow people to interact and get to know each other better and celebrate a success.
Yeah, we've had companies that do, I don't know how they do it, but they've had virtual magicians.
Oh, that's cool.
And it, people say, how did they make that happen?
Yeah.
I was in my own house. Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, was somebody here recently? You know, did you guys send somebody out when I was out?
Right. That's cool.
But there's so many creative things people can do doing that. In fact, we have a whole chapter on different things people can do virtually.
Yeah, it's called Chapter 6, Virtual Work is the chapter. I'm looking right at it. I think the thing that you may have here, though, I think this is maybe somewhat of, and maybe it's got to be a future chapter in the next version of this book, but the blended, you know, this blended hybrid model, does it become more of a challenge? Because if we were all virtual or we're all at work, I think it's fun. But does the hybrid model make it more of a challenge?
It does.
Yes.
Because you really have two work groups, basically. You got, and so you got to keep them both in mind. You got to make sure that whatever you're doing for the people in the office, that you're emulating that for the people that aren't in the office. So it makes you have to be more thoughtful.
Which means you've got to do err on the side of the least common denominator, which means, you know, in terms of if you're virtual, you're not getting the benefit of the 3D presence.
Right.
And so you've got it when you're doing something virtual, you got to be doing what you normally would in person, but you got to do it on steroids.
Right.
You know, from the sound, you got to look, you got to make sure that people are getting the right angles when they're virtual. So when people do a hybrid event, I always recommend that the people in the room who are together, that we're going to default and do it, do the design as if everybody was virtual.
Mm.
Because if we just do something where it's face to face,
right,
then people don't see or they don't hear or they're not getting the same effect. So we got to make sure that we're going to the lowest common denominator, which is, let's just assume people have 2D and they're all online.
That's awesome.
Even though you got a lot of people in the same room.
That's awesome.
So the design's got to be, take that into account.
You know what, guys, we've been on an hour.
Wow.
Really? An hour?
Yeah.
When is Jay Leno going to get here? That's what I want to know.
I know.
Bob told me we were going to do this with Jay Leno.
Jay Leno. Yeah, that's what they said. They didn't get Jay Leno. The book is entitled Work Made Fun Gets Done. I got to tell you something, folks. It was absolutely true. I did a lot of work today, but I had a lot of fun doing it with these two guys. They are fantastic. By the way, guys, can I just say this? I'm looking at the back of the book again. Grow the froze back. Okay, serious people. They've got froze on the back of their book of when they were younger. They're fantastic.
1974. We did not know each other, but that's how we looked.
That is awesome. The Fro brothers just pick up their book.
We discovered those photos after we knew each other for 34
years.
Yeah.
So
this is I don't know how old people are that listen to this, but remember the old Mod Squad?
Oh gosh, yes.
And then you had Welcome Back Cotter.
Oh gosh, yes.
Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
Yes,
we all had froze back then.
You know what? I did too. By the way, there's a picture of me with one as well.
Folks, there you go.
Yeah, there is. There's a picture of me with one. Folks, it's the show. I say to see you every week, right? You know what? You're controlling three things in your life: your attitude, your effort, and getting back up. I know it may be tough, and you may be going through things right now, but I got to tell you something: you are in control of it. It's your attitude, it's your effort, and being resilient. And I promise you, you're in control of it. Take control of it, because when you do, it's going to change things. I'll be back next week with another great guest, or maybe guest, another great book, and it's going to be another great show. And as I say to you every week, and you know what that is, everybody. Ciao, everybody.
Thank you, Jay.
That was great, Jay. Thanks for having us.
You can find the strength to go a different way. Your dreams will take you places you have never been before. Find your passion, find your strength. Don't worry anymore. A new direction. A new direction.